Listen to God's word. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is the word of God.
Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we are your servant, and we have gathered to discuss a lot of things about our denomination. Oh, we do pray that you'd help us this morning to reflect on your word, to reflect on our own ministries, and to reflect on your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I think it will be right to maybe, Presiding Bishop, if you give me 30 seconds, just to thank you for praying for me. There I am, standing at this synod, and many of you have been praying, and I am grateful to God that I am well enough to be able to be here with you this morning, or at least for the next 2 days, and to be with you for as long as the Lord indeed spares my life. And thank you so much for being with me. It's always encouraging when I see Gary around, because I know there's no one who's been near death more than Gary probably, yeah? So when I see him so well, and greeting him yesterday, I say, "Have you checked where's the closest heart hospital here?" So he's got all that under control. But then I got to be told that Martin, now and again, he does the same thing. He would just threaten to go, and then the doctors bring him back. So it feels like I'm in good company. Well, for those of you who don't know me or have forgotten me, my name is Jomo. I'm the rector of Christ Church Hillcrest. And so I'm here with my colleague and good friend of mine. We were at college together, Mark Dennison, indeed. The church made sure that he comes along just in case I need support. So he's here for that reason. We're going to focus on this passage that was read to us this morning. And I thought it's probably one of the passages that almost all of us would have preached from. So I chose a passage that I am sure, as you're sitting there looking at it, you think, "Oh, I could probably cover it that way or cover it that way." But I chose it intentionally because I think it's a passage that all of us know it well. And I hope you would see the reason why I chose it. But I think the best way really to start about it and reflecting on this is, as we sit here this morning, who can deny that today many ministers are burdened? That many of us were equipped to teach the gospel. We went to Bible colleges and they taught us how to handle the Bible. But we weren't really taught stuff about organizational leadership. We had to learn on the job how to create a vision for the church, to put together a budget for the church or a deficit budget for the church, or whatever it is that you want to call it. We weren't taught how to manage staff. We weren't told how to deal with building projects that would run into millions. And many of us, beyond 100,000, we tend not to know what that number is. And fundraising initiatives that everybody says, you know, we need money for this and we need money for that. And everybody looks to the minister. Fundraiser is the minister. And we fundraise to try and deal with this ever-increasing debt or overdraft that we face as pastors. We have to deal with family disputes. We have to support families that are grieving. We have to do marriage counseling for those marriages that are forever struggling. The list is long, but the buck stops with us. You are the main teacher. You are the main evangelist. You are the main chairman of all these committees and subcommittees and sub-subcommittees. And all of them, you need to be there, or at least everybody. Even when you delegate, it ends up back on your table. You're a big numzan in the church. As a rector, you feel that weight 24/7 on your shoulders. You can't take it off. And we've seen many, many good soldiers leaving the ministry. We've seen families breaking down because of the load that we carry as ministers. And as you chat with the guys, and I hope you've noticed that here in chatting with different guys, it doesn't take long to see how many of us are discouraged in the ministry. Some even wish to leave the ministry, but they remain in the ministry because they have no other ways of making a living. So they are trapped in the ministry. What an awful picture that is, to be trapped in the ministry. And many pastors' wives are also discouraged, and others are openly unhappy with the ministry. And every time these things surfaces now and again, when there are these women conferences down in the Cape, thank you for putting these together. Because we as pastors, we have perfected the art of pretending everything is fine. And when the ladies are together, sometimes they are a little bit more honest than we are. And these things come to the surface. And when they do, we get embarrassed than to actually deal with them. But you know what is the sad reality? And I hope I'm not really discouraging you. And I hope along the way you pick up some encouragement. But the sad reality is that this is not just experienced by the pastors or the rectors of the church. Generally, the gospel workers, staff in churches, they're generally fatigued, emotionally drained, and at times struggling to the point of depression or burnout. If we are honest this morning, how many of us are on antidepressant medicine? How many of us have gone through this terrible burnout? And it all just keep going. You're a good soldier, boy. Just keep going. Yet Sunday by Sunday, what do? We stand as I'm standing this morning in front of our congregation, in front of our youth, in front of our Sunday school teachers, Sunday school kids, and what do? We dish out this life-giving word of God to the perishing souls and the dying souls. And we tell those who are self-sufficient that they too will die. They need what we have found. We do this with such passion and dedication that people are so impressed with the way we understand the Bible, and yet within inside of ourselves, we are crumbling. We are slowly collapsing under the weight of the same ministry that we love. And you know what is the irony of it all? Is that instead of slowing down, we create more job for ourselves. Because, you know, you're struggling with what you're struggling. You just need to focus. Put more in. Get on with it. So we put more work. We spend more hours in the offices, we leave early, we come back late at night, convincing ourselves that we are doing it for the Lord. You even say it in your heart and you say, come on, Jomo, it is a small sacrifice that you have to make for the gospel's sake. Keep going. You're a good soldier. A disciplined soldier of Christ keeps going. And by the time we get home in the evening, we are so tired that our flat screen TV watches us more than we watch them. Guys, is the ministry so bad for us? Is it so bad? If Christ says his yoke is easy and his burden is light, why are we so weary? And why are we so burdened? What are we carrying? What is it that we are carrying? Because clearly then it's not the yoke that we got from our Lord Jesus Christ. He is his light. What are we carrying? And I wonder, could it be that somehow, subconsciously, we have forgotten that God in his wisdom and grace, he concealed the gospel to the wise and the learned. And that we now have taken the responsibility to reveal it to them. That we've worked so hard that we've almost taken to ourselves the responsibility of saving people. If in his wisdom he has concealed to them, we will reveal it to them because we are GWC graduates. We will do it. Or could it be that in our busy schedule, we have somehow forgotten that God has handed over all authority to Christ, not to us? Could it be that we've forgotten that? That the authority from heaven, God has not given to Jomo and you. God has given that to Christ. And if the gospel is concealed to the wise and understanding and remains foolishness to those who are perishing, and the question that we need to be thinking about this morning is, how on earth are we going to win them for Christ? And the good and the simple answer is this: we can't. We can't. Unless Jesus himself reveals the mind and the heart of God to people, we can't do it. We can't. Unless Jesus does it, all our beautiful music, all our creative teaching and brilliantly packaged sermons that we work so hard during the week to present to our people, they will all amount to nothing. If we forget to come to Christ as his servants and ask him to open the eyes of those people, whether they're religious or not, whether they are educated or not, and to just to come to Christ and say, Lord, as I prepare this material, as I'll present it to people, please, Lord, open their eyes, so they may see your glory and the glorious kingdom that awaits them. On our own, we can't save them, just as much as they can't save themselves. It is Christ who brings sons and daughters into glory through his divine revelation. And therefore, I still believe, from the bottom of my heart that ministry is a wonderful place to be in. I firmly believe from the bottom of my heart that we should never be stuck in the ministry. It's a glorious place to be in. But if we forget who the Savior of the world is, and we take that responsibility on our shoulders, we can only hurt the people we are called to love and serve. Ministry can become a place, can become very toxic when we take responsibilities that belong to God and Christ alone. And so when Jesus says to the people, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and slow in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You read that and you think, what an invitation. What a promise. And when Jesus put it forward, he put it to the people who were really burdened by the yoke of legalism and salvation by works. He said to them, come. Let's exchange the yoke, the yokes. Submit yourselves, as our sermon last night clearly says, under the authority of Christ's lordship. And learn from me. And many of us here heard that message. And we heard the call. And we were rescued from the yokes of ancestral veneration, from the yoke of religion, from the yoke of secularism, from the yoke of atheism, and all forms of godlessness and idolatry. And God in his goodness and mercy through Christ rescued us. I remember so well, because the yoke of ancestral veneration was heavy on my shoulders for many years. And when Christ rescued me from that, the feeling is amazing. You remember those days where we sang songs because of celebrating our salvation. We couldn't help but tell other people about the glorious yoke that is found in Christ. We invited people to come and join us. We were so excited about it, and that we wanted to spend the rest of our lives telling people about this incredible light yoke that God has made it known to us. Do you remember those days? Do you remember? But now the song is gone. And the ministry has become a duty than a service. And where is that joy? We're quite happy to see the preaching opportunity go begging these days, aren't we? If anything, when I get a call and people say, "Hey, Chomo, we've got this," my initial thing is no. Then I can think about it later. Don't know about you. And I do so because the table is just so full of papers that I'm just never able to get on top of them. And I may be wrong this morning. If I am, please do forgive me. But I believe that Jesus' invitation does not exclude tired ministers and gospel workers. I don't think we are excluded. We too can still come to Christ, not for salvation. We've got that. And we are all clear about it. That invitation for us would not be, "Come and be saved again because you lost your salvation. You're so tired because you lost your salvation." No. The song we sang, you know, "Take my heart and seal it. Let's come to find that rest again in Christ. Our souls can find rest in understanding that Jesus will build his church in spite of our weaknesses. That he will build his church in spite of the debt that gives us sleepless nights. That Jesus will build his church even though the church council is divided about whether you should stay or go. He will build his church even though the music is not great and you have no hope of finding better musicians. Christ will build his church because it is his church. We can also come to Jesus to hand over our struggles. As a denomination, we can come to him and hand over our hurts, our pain, our fears, our anger, our disappointment. And maybe the denomination has not lived up to your expectation and you hurt. And you can come to Jesus. Anything that wears us down, brothers and sisters in Christ, we can bring it to Jesus. We mustn't forget that. We mustn't pretend to be stronger than the very Jesus who's called us to serve him. We're not. During my illness, it was such a good reminder. When you wake up in the morning at 9 and you feel like it's 5:30 in the afternoon. And you know it's going to be a long, long day. We can still cast all our burdens and anxieties to him because he really cares, isn't it? When it's time to go to sleep, go to sleep and sleep as if the church has no debt. And as if you have no debt. Knowing that God is in total control of his global church, including the local church that he has entrusted in your care. He is the Lord who rules heaven and earth. He is in total control of all the things that you and I have absolutely no control of. You and I, while we're traveling and the ministry is going great, you hit a speed hump and boom, everything goes up haywire. Where's your confidence? Who do you run to? Do you run to your commentaries? Do you run to the latest book on business management, on strategic planning, on financial management, on fundraising? Who do you run to? And I fear that too many of us run to these business gurus rather than to Christ. We feel that our theological education should be adequate to keep us on top of the things that we struggle with. And the good news is, it is never. Because people are not projects. People are God's property. They are created in God's image. They are complicated. And we need all the help we could get from our Lord Jesus as our leader. We need to come to him. We need to sit at his feet again. And we need to learn from him. We don't have to carry all these yokes we're carrying. We have to do all these things to keep our churches going. But we must remember that first and foremost, we are gospel ministers. Not fundraisers, not business executives stuck behind the pulpit. Yes, ministry is demanding. Yes, ministry is not for the faint-hearted. And ministry should never be a place we stay in purely because it provides employment. I think it's a terrible thing to if that's where you find yourself in. Ministry is a yoke. But as Green puts it in his little BST commentary, it is a yoke of love, not of duty. It is a response of the liberated, not the duty of the obligated. You get it? Do you understand it? It changes perspective, doesn't it? Ours is not to just point people to where they can find rest for their souls. But ours is to invite people to join us in the place of rest. Friends, it is a wonderful thing sometimes to share the Word of God with pastors, because you're sharing with people who understand the Bible clearly. People who spend hours reading it and studying it. And we've studied and we've looked at different angles, and you would have covered it slightly different from the way I have this morning. But this we must never forget. Our identity is not found in our ministry. Our identity is found in Christ. And we are nothing more than unworthy servants in the kingdom of God. Nothing more than mere tools in the hands of Jesus Christ. And let's encourage one another as we gather like this to keep going. And when you are struggling, don't make it a secret. Talk to somebody. Open up. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. I ought to be comfortable. I should never be ashamed to say I have cancer, I'm struggling with it. I have depression and I'm struggling with it. Whatever it is that the doctors tell you, just don't hide it and bury yourself under more ministry work. It doesn't bring glory to the gospel. It only minimizes the numbers of good soldiers in the field. Let us come back to Christ and find rest. I mean, it is my desire to finish the race, still in love with Jesus, still serving him passionately through the local church. That be Hillcrest or anywhere else where I would end up, doesn't really matter. And I wish to finish still grateful to God for considering me worthy to serve him as a gospel minister, however long I live before he takes me home. And I hope and I pray that you too will finish the line stronger, with your soul well rested in the capable hands of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Won't you stand with me and let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are your servants. We stand and bow our heads and our hearts before you this morning, giving you thanks for your great salvation and giving you praise for calling us into this ministry and asking you to give us strength to persevere to the end, and humility to come and say, Lord, we are struggling. Help us. I present to you your soldiers, Lord. Please refresh us all. And may we be encouraged at this synod and refreshed and go back to our local churches with our hearts lifted to serve you, not with our strength, but with the strength that is found in you. In Jesus Christ, we pray.